Matthew's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 1, we're still on the Ten Commandments in today's world. The Ten Commandments. And we're just laying the foundation for now. Since the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham, and we said that this means that the context of the four Gospels is the Old Testament books. That's the context. Which means you need the Old Testament books, as we call them today, to interpret the four Gospels. In Matthew chapter 5 and verse 17, Jesus said, "Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass." Now heaven and earth means what? The temple. Very good. And which one is passing away? The man-made ones, the temporary ones, go on. "One jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled." And so we said that what does he mean by to fulfill? Now, the word law and prophet is how they used to speak about the Old Testament books. The law or the prophets. So they didn't use Old and New Testament. The law or the prophets. And so Jesus is saying, "I'm come to fulfill." To fulfill means, alright, we said it means two things. I said on Wednesday that it's to stay or to fulfill the pattern. That's the first thing. For example, when Paul says Christ died for our sins, 1 Corinthians 15:3, according to the scriptures. It's not like there's any verse that says Jesus is going to die for your sins, but in alignment with the things that have been happening in scriptures, Christ died for our sins. Buried and raised again from the dead the third day. We said that before. So which means that Jesus, and we said the word fulfilled, I assume you always come to church, okay? The word fulfilled means usually a non-verbal what? Prophecy. Right? A non-verbal prophecy. That is, Jesus repeats the actions of the Old Testament, but furthermore, he brings it into his conclusion. So which means that we will need to read the Old Testament to understand the actions of Jesus and to interpret them properly. You need the Old Testament, therefore, to interpret the New. In Matthew's Gospel 28:19. "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All authority is given me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you unto the end of the world." Now, amen. Now, amen is another name for God. So we say end of the world, and I mentioned a bit of that, or did that in first service. When we say end of the world, and usually this has been the challenge, we usually interpret in these days the scriptures in the light of our modern thinking. A charismatic will think scriptures according to charismatic interpretation, a Catholic according to Catholic interpretation, an Anglican, and you can go on and on, Word of Faith, Reformed. But oftentimes we ignore the text. Now I mentioned this in the first service as well, and I said it in different fora, that the disconnection between the New and the Old Testament, either by translation or by the way we study, is why oftentimes we get the concepts wrong. Now when you hear end of the world, what comes to many people's minds is that the world is going to finish. But that is not the meaning. The word telos, right, end of the world, is a phrase that you will track back if you look at the Greek of this, is the word to finish an assignment, to conclude a task. End, telos, T-E-L-O-S, to conclude a task. Now in Genesis chapter 2, you will see that same phrase. Remember we said you will need the Old Testament to understand the New. Genesis chapter 2, verse 1, let's go together. Genesis 2:1. Thus, alright, you're now there. Genesis chapter 2, verse 1. "Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them." That word finished there means ended. It's the same word telos, or synonymous to it, the word telos. Now, recall, in our study, we also said, you're going to see the same phrase, Exodus chapter 40, quickly, where Moses concluded the building of the tabernacle, and verse 3. So Moses finished the work. So Moses finished the work. Remember yesterday in our study, we also located the use of seven. Remember that? Seven and the word Sabbath. Moses finished the work. Now again, in 1 Kings chapter 6, 1 Kings where Solomon built a temple. 1 Kings chapter 6. I'm trying to see. Verse 14. Solomon built the house and finished it. So, listen very well. He finished it. He concluded the task. Moses concluded the task. Then Genesis 2:1, which is the blueprint of Bible truth, finished it. So end of the world, pay attention, is contrasted, that is the opposite of it, is beginning. Beginning. You know what we say? Beginning of a movie, beginning of a game. The end is when we are done with what we started. It doesn't mean people are destroyed. It doesn't mean the game was destroyed. It doesn't mean the house was destroyed. It simply means the house was now concluded. So end of the world is what God began in Genesis, He concludes through Jesus. It's not the world is destroyed. Now, the contrast of it is another phrase used in the Bible, foundation of the world, Matthew 13 and 35. To know what the end of the world is, you go to the foundation, the beginning. It's like, you want to build a house, you dig the foundation, am I right, of a four-story building. So from the foundation, you know when you are done. So we need to know what the foundation is. So use the word end of the world for a building project. A building project. Now, we've said this, do not forget, that if you say, I asked in the first service, if they ask you, you're a member of this church, you've been taught the word of God, and they ask you, use one word to explain the purpose of the earth. What word will readily come to mind? He got it. He said, the dwelling place of God. Can we also use the word temple? Okay. So if God started to build in Genesis, He will conclude through Jesus. Is that it? That's end of the world, not destruction of the earth. So the word foundation of the world, which you are going to see, refers to Genesis. Genesis. Matthew's Gospel 13. Matthew's Gospel 13. And you know, because of lack of understanding of this phrase from the Old Testament, we mix so many things up. Soon and very soon we are going to see the King. Those who compose are not around. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We are going to see the King. You know? And then you say the King is here. Jesus is right here. So which King do you want to see? No, I want him different. He should barb his hair. Or cut his hair. Matthew 13, watch this. In verse 35, this is Matthew describing the ministry of Jesus. He said, all this is 34, spake Jesus to the multitude in parables, and without a parable spake he not unto them. 35, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables, I will utter things that have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. Now, this is referring to Psalm 78, verse 2. Verse 2 is referring to Genesis. So Genesis is referred to as the foundation of the world. There are many texts again. Matthew's Gospel. Quickly, I'm just giving the reference. Matthew's Gospel 25, verse 34. Foundation of the world. Alright? Then you have Luke 11. Now Luke 11 is very direct. Quickly go to Luke 11. So you know what foundation of the world means. Now why does the New Testament writer use foundation? Because they know the earth is his building. Is that okay? You get it? The earth is his building. Luke 11. And I'm going to read to you. I see Luke 11. No. Luke 11, yeah? I'm going to read to you verse 49. Therefore also said the wisdom of God, I'll send them prophets and apostles, and some of them they shall slay. No, slay now is another word, right? I slay. That's, God is faithful. And persecute. That the blood of all the prophets which was shed from where? From the foundation of the world may be required of each generation. Now, look at what he calls foundation of the world. Verse 51. From the blood of who? Abel. That's the foundation of the world. Which is the book of what? Genesis. The first few chapters of Genesis. Now, another place there. Go to Hebrews 4. So, foundation of the world is when God began to build his resting place. Now, we know we said that Genesis 1:1 is not material creation. It doesn't use it. It only uses it. Genesis 1:1, when it says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Right? Now, change the word heaven and the earth. What do you have? The temple, huh? Good. Now, is it heaven or heavens? Huh? Because there are three heavens. And the temple did disperse. So the three heavens. Heavens and the earth. Heavens and the earth. What's the last one? The sea, right? Heavens, the earth, and the sea. That's the temple. And if you were in church yesterday, we studied it and we saw that the Old Testament writer was not referring to science. He was referring to the building of the temple of God, which is the earth. Now, Hebrews chapter 4, foundation of the world. It says, for we which have believed, let's take verse 3 together and verse 4. Hebrews 4, are you there? Are you there? Let's go. For we which have believed, I'll wait for you again. Let's go. For we which have believed do enter into rest, as we say, huh? I've sworn in my wrath, if they shall not enter into my rest, huh? Finish from where? Now look at verse 4. For he spoke in a certain place of the seventh day, and God did rest. Now, which part of scripture is this? Genesis 2, verse 1 to 3. So, Genesis is referred to as the foundation of the world. Now, notice the word rest here. The word rest here is picked from the Old Testament, which we have studied will also mean resting place. So, when you have end of the world, foundation of the world is the building of a home. God building his home in the earth. That's why many of the New Testament writers use the word stones. Cornerstone. Hallelujah. Are you here? Cornerstone. Let's go. Look at Matthew's Gospel. Just check it. Matthew's Gospel and chapter 20. Cornerstone. 21, I wanted to say. Now in 41, 42, Matthew's Gospel, 21 and 42. Jesus said to them, did you never read the scriptures? The stone which the builders rejected, the stone which the builders rejected, the same has become the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing and is marvelous in our eyes. So what God is doing in the earth is building. Go to Acts of the Apostles. Chapter 4. Look at how Peter describes salvation. I'll start from 8. Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said to them, you rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole. Verse 10, be it known unto you, to all the people of Israel, and by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead. Okay, then he says, by him doth this man stand here before you whole. Let's take 11 together and pay very good attention. Let's go. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head. Look at 12. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby. So he refers to salvation as God's building a stone. 1 Peter 2. So they use the temple language to explain, right, what God is doing in the earth. 1 Peter 2. You know, the idea of being born again because you want to go to heaven is why many misinterpret almost all these texts. Oh, you know, I'll get to heaven and we buy a place in heaven so that we will not go to hell. You know, very, very wrong theology. First Peter 2, look at verse 4. Talking about salvation. To whom coming as unto a living stone. It's allowed in need of men, but chosen of God and precious. Let's take 5 together. You also, 1 Peter 2, are you here? Let's go. You also, as living stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer our spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Verse 6, therefore, as concerning the scriptures, behold, I lay in Zion, the chief cornerstone, elect precious, and he that believes on him shall not be confounded. So, that is building. The end of the world, or building. Now hold on, let's say a few more. You notice in John 2, when Jesus entered into the temple, and he drove out those who were selling and buying, then he said, you have made my father's house a house of merchandise. If you read that with Mark's account, then he drove them out. And then he said, the zeal of his father's house has consumed him. So now, when he did that, they now asked him, the Jews, tell us the signs. What are the signs of these things? Because they knew that what he did was symbolic. Symbolic of the end of the world. That God will build for himself a temple. So he said, okay, what is the sign? What's the sign of this? So he asked him. He said, destroy this temple. After 3 days, I will what? Raise it up. And then they got furious. What in the world is he saying? Do you know how long it took to build this stuff? You said 3 days? 3 days? But he spoke about his body. Hallelujah. You hear? So when he said, I'll be with you to the end of the world, I'll be with you till the whole temple is built. Why? Because he is the chief cornerstone, right? Come on. 1 Corinthians 3. 1 Corinthians 3. Here's Paul. I'm going to read to you verse 9. Let's read it together actually. Verse 9. Are you there? 1 Corinthians 3. Let's go. For we are laborers together with God. You are God's husbandry. You are God's building. Look at 10. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, another build thereon, let every man take heed how he builds upon. Look at 11. Can no man lay than that which is laid, which is... So the foundation of what? The temple of God. Look at 16 so that you know what he's talking about. Let's say 16 together. Okay, let's go. Let's maybe we should. This is relevant. It says, if any man build upon his foundation, gold, silver, precious gold, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work will be made manifest, verse 13, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. Now, usually people think that he's talking about endurance, and he's saying that gold and silver, precious stones. Now, when gold sees proper fire, right, it will disappear. So he's not referring to, he's not asking that any of these things be used. He has already told you, you must build with Christ. So he defers, he's doing a distinction between Christ and these things. So look at 13. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare, because shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. Look at 14. If any man's work abide which he has built upon, he shall receive a reward. I want you to pay attention to this phrase, because we're coming there, when we get to Exodus 20. It says, if your work abides, you'll get a reward. If your work abides, now abides where? Where is God building? Huh? Where? In the earth. So if your work abides where? In the earth. Take note of that. It's coming shortly. Now look at verse 15. If any man's work shall be burned, he will suffer loss, but himself shall be saved, yet as so by fire. Take 16 together. Let's go. Know ye not that you are what? And the Spirit of God dwells in you. Can you see he's talking about temple? Aha. Which is God's dwelling place where? In the earth. So end of the world, foundation of the world, will tell you what the end of the world is. Now let me add a few things. So you discover in the Old Testament writers and authors will say things like, the earth shall be filled, right? With the glory of the Lord. Numbers 14. Let's see a few. Numbers 14. And verse 21. As soon as I leave, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. Numbers 14, 21. All the earth shall be filled. So can we say, the filling of the earth is the end? Is that the end? Talk to me. Is that the end? Watch what? Psalm 72. See it, a few more. Psalm 72. Psalm 72 and verse 19. Blessed be his glorious name forever. Let the whole earth be filled with what? His glory. Amen and amen. Look at Isaiah 11. Isaiah 11 and verse 9. You shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters what? Cover the sea. Look at Habakkuk. Habakkuk. Habakkuk 2. You're looking for it in the table of contents, right? I found you out. For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. Now something similar with Isaiah, Habakkuk, and one other person we're going to read now, which is Haggai, was that they were all talking about the building of the temple. So look at Haggai. Don't stress yourself. Just open two other books after. We say Haggai. Is that not the wife of Abraham? No. It's his granddaughter. Now, Haggai 2, watch this now. Pay attention. This is the building of a temple. In verse 6, yet once a little while, I will shake the heavens and the earth, and the sea and the dry land. You understand what that is? Heavens and the earth? Temple? Sea and dry land? Tohu bohu. Come on. You've been coming to church. Very good. Verse 7, I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come, and I will fill what? This house with glory. Now, what is that glory when all nations come into this? Are you following here? Good. And he says, here the Lord. Silver is mine, gold is mine, says the Lord of hosts. The glory, look at 9. Let's take 9 together. The glory of this latter house shall be greater than the former. So there's a latter house that has all nations, right? Jews and Gentiles in it. The glory of the Lord as the waters covers the sea. So, what are they referring to? That glory of the Lord covering the earth as the waters cover the sea, that is the end of the world. That's the end of the world. There are other phrases used for it. Uttermost parts of the earth. Uttermost parts of the earth. Psalm 2. And verse 7. I will declare the decree. The Lord said to me, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. Let's take verse 8 together, Psalm 2. Ask of me, and I'll give you the Ethan for your inheritance, the uttermost parts of the earth for your possession. Uttermost means the end. The end. The very end, when everything is covered. So when he told them, be witnesses unto me, Acts 1:8 in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and unto what? Till the earth is filled. So end of the world is when the earth is filled with the knowledge of the Lord as the waters covers the sea. So in Matthew 24, go there again. Learning something? Alright. So when you see disaster, when you see bad things, shortages right at center, when you see wars, don't say, Is God giving us a sign that he wants to wrap up the whole thing? You know, that's how we reason. We reason that, you know, and like I said, it's a disconnect from scriptures. If you sit down the Old Testament believer, the Jew, and you tell him that when there is disaster, is that how the earth is going to end? It's not in the Bible at all. That means God wants to do something new. That's what they will say. So we say, well, you know, what's going on now? What's going on? Are things not getting so bad? I even learned that in social and so country that they are now giving them marks that if you want to buy, they'll give you a mark on your finger. Someone say, ah! Someone told me, he said, do you know that this, when I was going to get the vaccination, and the fellow, he called me, and he was very passionate. He said, I saw you. You took the vaccination. I said, 3 times. He said, ha. He said, I learned that code, I said, which code? The barcode. That code, that it's like a signature of the Antichrist. Hey. He said, so, the moment you take it, the guy was explaining to me, and you know, I gave him respect because I've known him for years. So, I mean, let me hear you out. We learn every day. So when he said that, so I now joked with him. I said, interestingly, I had to go back to get my barcode back because it's washed off my card. He said, eh? I said, yeah. Should I be thanking God that the mark was taken away eventually? So he was dumbfounded. I said, all right. So, what's the problem? He said, because that is the Antichrist code. I said, well, you use barcodes for other things. He said, no, this one is different. Because after a while, they put it in our bodies. That's nice. That means I don't have to carry the card everywhere. I just let me pass. He said, are you not afraid of the consequences? What consequences? That the world is coming to an end. I said, stop that thing. Who is going to end it? You know, do you even know what they're talking about? Every solution. Do you know somebody had predicted the drone years ago? Said there's something that will happen. That the Antichrist will now give us something that you can see people everywhere. CCTV. Then there was no CCTV as it is today. Say they will be monitoring you. So they will now, there's that a movie that they showed for the last days. You will now see the Antichrist and his police people. You've not seen the movies before. Yeah. That's why you're looking at me like that. It was very strange that somebody will now sit down and say, see where he's going. See. He has entered. And I was saying, you mean there's something like this? Say the Antichrist. So we'll now show the movie to people. When they are watching, I say, ah. So anything you are doing, forget it. They are seeing you. So you cannot run away. If you get the mark, there's nothing you can, there's nowhere you can go to. But everybody has kept quiet on that because now we have CCTVs. So that theology is gone. You know, and that's the kind of scare tactics. Oh, the world is coming to an end. Any little problem like this, the world is coming to an end. That's the reason. Say, do you know that they've now licensed man and animal marrying in one country? I said, yeah. Don't you know that is a sign of the end? No. I said, in the Bible, people were marrying animals. I said, no! I said, oh! It's there in the Bible. Because the culture of their days had the same practice. We think that there's a new sin. There's no new sin. It's only modernized. There's nothing new. So if that something happening now, it has never happened before. What has never happened before? War. Famine. There's nothing that's never happened before. Jesus said that's not the end. He burst your bubble. So that's not the end. He said, even when they bring war towards you and they persecute you, that is still not the end. It's still not the end. With all that trouble, it's not the end. What then is the end? He said, when this gospel is preached in all nations as a witness, then the end will come. So if it's the gospel that is the end cannot be destruction. Which one of what I'm saying here? The end cannot be destruction. So therefore, as believers, we must be accustomed to Bible terms. Again, I repeat myself. The lack of understanding of how the Old Testament is interpreted by the New Testament writers is why we come to such conclusions. Look at the concept of the Ten Commandments that we're studying. What were the Ten Commandments for? Go to Deuteronomy chapter 5. We have said already that the Ten Commandments were not meant for salvation. What were they meant for? Again, we have to redefine the concept. Deuteronomy chapter 5. Are you in church? Sorry, I'm skipping all my Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John for today. I want to trash something very quickly. Deuteronomy chapter 5. Now, remember we have done the comparison with Exodus 20? Was that clear enough? Very good. Was it clear enough? Let me know. Talk to me. Was it clear enough? Very well. Now, Moses, verse 1, called on Israel, Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 1, and said to them, "Hear, O Israel, the statutes, judgment which I speak to you yesterday, that you may learn them, keep them, and do them." So, he said, "The Lord our God made a covenant with us in Horeb. The Lord made not his covenant with our fathers, but with us, even us who are all of us are here alive this day. He talked with you face to face on the mount of the midst of the fire. I stood between the Lord and you at that time to show you the word of the Lord, for you were afraid by reason of fire and went not up into the mount, saying, 'I'm the Lord thy God, which brought thee,'" watch this, "'out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage.'" Okay? We said that is the introduction of the Ten Commandments. Now back up a little bit to Exodus chapter 4. Or Exodus 20. Let's take Exodus 20 first. Exodus 20. Alright. Again it says here, "I'm the Lord thy God," verse 2, "which brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage." So this was the intro of the Ten Commandments. "I brought you out of Egypt." So we must go back to Egypt to ask why. Why did he rescue Israel? Don't forget again in this study we said, were the Ten Commandments given before they were rescued? Huh? Talk to me, church. Was after. Good. So, let's backtrack a bit. Why did he rescue them? In Exodus chapter 6. Or, let's do Exodus 3 first. Verse 16. Now, before then, let's go to 3 verse 7. "I have seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and I have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, and I know their sorrows. I'm come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians." Now to where? Huh? "To bring them up out of that land to a good land, a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey." Not a milk manufacturing company. There's a meaning for that. "Unto the place of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Evites, and the rest." Now, in verse 16, it says, "Go gather the elders of Israel together and say to them, 'The Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, appeared to me, saying, I'll surely visit you and to see what is done to you in Egypt.'" Verse 17, "I'll bring you up out of the affliction of Egypt to where? To the land." So the emphasis is the land. Look at 18. "The Lord God of Hebrews had met with us. Now let us go, we beseech thee, 3 days journey into the wilderness, that we may sacrifice to the Lord our God." Now look at chapter 6. So why were they taken out of Egypt? To the land, right? To the land. That is very important. So that you don't mix that one up at all. Chapter 6. Uh, I'm going to read verse 3. Verse 2. I am the Lord. Verse 2. And I appeared to Abraham, to Isaac, and Jacob. Why does he mention that? You see in a moment. By the name of God Almighty, but by my name Jehovah, was I not known to them with the word Yahweh. Watch this now. And I've also established my covenant with them to give them what? The land of Canaan, the land of their pilgrimage, wherein they were strangers. I've heard the groaning of the children of Israel among the Egyptians, keeping bondage, and I remembered my covenant. Now, let's read verse 6 to 8, slowly. Because if the commandments were given upon the rescue, we must know why were they rescued. Look at it again. Let's go. Verse 6 together. Let's go. Wherefore say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord, I'll bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, I'll lead you out of their bondage, I'll redeem you with a stretched out arm, and with great judgment. 7, Oh, now slowly verse 7. So, well, hold on. Verse 6 is what he did. Alright? Verse 7 is why. So pay attention to the why. Let's take 7. I will take you to me for a people, I will be to you a God. You shall know that I am the Lord your God, which brings you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. 7, 8. And I will bring you unto the land concerning the which I swore to give you to Abraham, to Isaac. And I will give you for what? So what is common? The land, right? So he rescued them for the land. So we must know what the land is. Now typically if you throw this to anyone on the streets who doesn't study the Bible, pardon me, you just say, that means to stay in the geographical area in the Middle East. That would be very funny. That's not what he's saying. Because by referring to the land, that is what we call a codified language of God's covenant with Abraham. To the land. The land. So we must study what is the land and what is the purpose of the land. Again, why the Ten Commandments? The Ten Commandments, which I've told you to call what? Ten words, ten statements in the same paragraph, which means they are interconnected. So he gave them those instructions because he's taking them to the land. So we said, therefore, that the Ten Commandments, allow me to use that phrase, is for their mission. It's not for salvation. It's for their mission. It's because of the mandate that he gave them. So let's backtrack. What land did he give Abraham? Before we get there, let's see the purpose of the land. Before we get to the land now. Deuteronomy chapter 12. Are you here? Are you learning something? Let's start from verse 1. These are the statutes and judgments which you shall observe to do. Where? Where? In the land. Will the Lord God of thy fathers give you to possess it all the days that you live where? Upon the earth. Okay? You shall utterly destroy all the places wherein the nations which you possess serve all their gods, upon the high mountains and upon the hills and under their green tree. So they were meant to, in that land, were they meant to establish the worship of God? Huh? And put down the worship of other idols. Look at verse 3. You shall overthrow their altars, break their pillars, and burn their groves with fire. You shall hew down the graven images of their gods, and destroy the names of them out of that place. Let's take verse 4 together. You shall not do, Lord your God, unto the place, look at 5, which the Lord your God shall choose out of all your tribes to put what? Even to what? His habitation shall you seek, and either thou shall come. So, what is he doing to the land? He's going to put his name there. To put his name there. Now look at verse 9. verse 9. You are not as yet come to the rest as to the inheritance which the Lord your God giveth you. And when you go, watch this, when you go over Jordan and dwell in the land where the Lord your God gives you to inherit, and where he gives you rest from all your enemies around about, so that you dwell in safety. Look at 11 together, let's hear. Then shall there be a place which the Lord your God shall choose to cause his name to dwell there. To cause his name to dwell there. So, he's saying that the reason why you're going to the land is to cause his name. Now, we have studied that is the name Alphabet or his presence. So, which means that the essence of that land, pay attention, is for the worship of who? God. So, the essence of that land, can we say, is for God's dwelling place? The temple of God? Very well. So, the essence of that land is for God to dwell there. So let's track back to Genesis 12. Now the disconnection from this understanding is why people think that he's referring to the portion of land in the Middle East. No. Genesis 12. Are you in church? Are you in church? Now he calls Abraham out. Watch this so you get it. And verse 1. Now the Lord has said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy city, from thy kindred, and from thy father's house. Now, why was this relevant? I'll just give you a small background. In chapter 11, right, the earth was divided. Okay? And there was confusion. And if you have been studying with us, we've also mentioned the fact that God gave them over to worship of other supernatural beings. Abraham was now called out of those nations. So that's a good context to see. So get thee out of thy father's kindred and from thy father's house to who? To where, sorry? Verse 1. Unto a land. Now, unto a land that I will show you. Now, stop. Let's see how it goes. How can he say, get thee to a land? When you get to the land, then I will now show you the land. Does that sound? Come and see the land. Or he's going to give him the architectural drawing. No. Whatever the land is, requires what? Revelation. Huh? Are you here? Are you okay? The land requires what? Revelation. Imagine someone wants to sell a land to you. Say, okay, when you get there, you will not see it physically. But when we start to pray, you will now see that land. Say, don't worry. You also will not see the money. When you start to pray, you will see the money. It was, what's the name again? Lillebin Yomas used to roll with the people called the Christian Science. So every time people fall sick, they go to their, whatever, worship centers. They now ask you, they now take you to therapy. Therapy is, you begin to imagine you are not in this realm. Imagine you're not in this realm. And they imagine. The sickness is not there. The sickness is not there. So the sickness is not there. So after you have done that, you feel relieved. Then you pay money. And you still go back to the sickness. So she kept doing this. She felt that, there was no improvement. So one day, she had gone through all the motions. Sickness is not there. So, when she was about to pray, he said, the money is not there. Imagine that. So, if God had to show Abraham the land, that means Abraham did not get there. Let me see if you understand that. Should I say it again? I know you say yes. If he had to show him the land, that means he didn't get there. Remember, we have said oftentimes that the Old Testament used parables, right? So which means the physical land of Canaan, we're going to get there, is a parable. Abraham didn't see it. And he's physically speaking. Now, let's see what that kind of land is. Let's take verse 3. Are you here? Are you here? I'll make of thee a great nation. So the land is about a nation. Huh? Come on, follow me here. Are you here? About a nation. I'll bless thee. I'll make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. Let's take 3 together. I'll bless them that bless you, curse them that curse you, and in you shall wear. Now pay attention. We have done a study. Now King James is a little bit off here. Now, you know we said that the same Hebrew word for land is earth. Can you remember? So, change the word earth to land. Are you here? Change the word earth to land. So, let's change the word earth to land. So let's take verse 3 together. I'll bless them that bless you, curse them that curse you. In you shall all the families of the lands be blessed. All the families be blessed. So he worshiped God. Now pay attention. In chapter 13, where His brother, his nephew, Lot, decided to do. Lot's a very interesting guy. He brought Lot with him, and then he gave Lot the freedom to do his own business, and after a while, Lot's staff was fighting Abraham's staff. You see, he's our Oga that brought you here. Which Oga? My Oga was the one who helped him get the truck to bring his things. Oga told us. Say, what did I say? You did, and they were arguing. And Abraham said, what's going on? Let there be no strife. We're brothers. That's true, uncle. It's all this stuff. Yeah. I mean, I don't know who sent them the things they were saying. Don't worry. He said, choose. So he now said, are you sure, uncle, should I choose? He said, choose anyone. He said, uncle, I don't know anything. Are you sure I should take? He said, yeah, quickly check Google. He had done some research. So he saw oil wells. He said, uncle, this one, it's like this one is the one I'm looking at. He said, go ahead. He chose the one that had oil wells. You know, he had no revelation that there will be war. That place he chose was a problem for the rest of his life. Because he wasn't walking by revelation. He was walking by sight. So, you know, when he said that, he said, okay, go on. In fact, the writer here says that, look at what the writer says. He says that in verse 10, he lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan. It was well watered. But something that he didn't see was verse 13. The men of Sodom were wicked and they were sinners. You don't know that. Don't doubt about revelation. So he struggled with his Christian life. You know, people that give you offers, they won't tell you the sinful part. That one is by revelation. He struggled for the rest of his life. The place was destroyed. His daughters got him drunk, slept with him. Just rubbish just happened from beginning to the end. He never enjoyed Sodom. Today we even call the place Sodomite. That's what happened to Lot. Anyway, let's leave that. His wife also became salt. On top oil block. So watch this now. When Lot said to Abraham, after Lot has said, look at verse 14. Lift up your eyes now and look from the place where you are, northward, southward, eastward, westward, for all the land that you see, to thee will I give it, and where? To thy seed forever. Now, look at this very well. I will make your seed what? As the dust of a land. So that a man can number the dust. Do you notice that every time God speaks about the land, he starts talking about people? Are you here? That the land refers to, is it a space or people? People. That is the land. The land is not a piece of property. No. It's people. You know, when Sodom was going to be destroyed, who did the Lord speak to? Abraham. Why? because he gave him the whole earth. So watch this now. Watch. Look at verse 17. Arise, walk through the land in the length of it, in the breadth of it, and I'll give it to you. You think that Abraham actually started walking around the world? Hallelujah. No. Look at chapter 15. So is the land a piece of property of people? Hey, talk to me, huh? So when he called Israel to go to that land, is it for enjoyment or for work? It's a task. To go to the promised land is a ministry. Now let me ask you, is that the same phrase, end of the world? Huh? Uttermost part of the earth? Very good. Look at chapter 15. Now chapter 15, Abraham, 15. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abraham where? In a vision. Fear not, Abraham, I'm thy seed, shield, sorry, and exceeding great reward. And Abraham said, now watch this. Abraham was in a vision. What do I mean? The word of the Lord came to him in a vision. He had an encounter with the Lord. Look at the kind of relationship they had. He was able to ask questions, you know, in the visions. So if I read with Samuel, he spoke and he responded. Look at Ananias. Ananias had the God to say, Lord, I think I'm forgetting things. He was in the vision and he was able to ask. So Abraham, I'm your shield, etc. Abraham said, Lord, what will you give me? Seeing I go childless, the steward of my house is Eliezer. And he said, behold, you've given me no seed. One born in my house is my heir. Look at 4. Behold, whoever came to him saying, this shall not be your heir, but he that shall come forth. So, hold on guys. So which way Abraham knew that the land was not a piece of property. Notice what he calls Eliezer, his heir, inheritance. He knew that the inheritance was referring to people or persons, not a property. Who's following what I'm saying here? Are you following what I'm saying here? Abraham was a rich man. So the inheritance he was called to was not a property. Are you here? Let me add one more for your study. Throughout the book of Genesis, Abraham never bought a piece of property. The only time he ever paid for a place was to bury Sarah. Why did he do that? Now, the New Testament says because he knew he was a pilgrim. Now, a pilgrim is somebody who is on a mission. So because he knew he was on a mission, he wasn't going to build any place. Who's following what I'm saying here now? So he knew that the land was not a piece of property. Abraham knew that. So Abraham's blessings are mine. I'm blessed in the morning, in the so one brother said, no, we say I'm blessed in the morning, in the evening. Said, no, what about the afternoon? That's how we change it. I'm blessed in the morning, in the afternoon, in the evening. All of them. it's of no use. Because if you don't know what Abraham's blessing is, you think it's a brand new car, a brand new house. Nope. Doesn't mean that if you are blessed with Abraham's blessing, you shouldn't have a car. I didn't say that. But that's not what it is. So look at verse 4. But he that is come forth out of your bowels shall be your heir. He brought him forth abroad. Now let's take 5 and slowly. Let's go. Now Paul calls this encounter the gospel. Galatians 3:8. So let's take 5 together. Let's go. And he brought him forth abroad and said, hold on, abroad, which country? Nah, I'm teasing you. Let's go again. And he brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward heaven and tell the stars if thou be able to number them. And he said to him, so shall thy seed be. Are you here? Now, watch this. And Abraham believed, he believed in the Lord, it's counted to him for righteousness, and he said to him, I'm the Lord that brought thee out of the hall of charges to give thee this land. Can you see it again? So is this land property or seed, people? Can you see? So the land refers to people. The nations of the earth. And the Lord said, this is what I'm calling you for. Look at chapter 22. This is Isaac. Now let's move quickly and see what he said about Isaac. Verse 17. In blessing, I will bless thee. In multiplying, I will multiply thy seed as the stars of heaven and as the stars upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gates of his enemies. Let's take 18 together. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. Let's track back a little bit. Again to chapter 15. Chapter 17. Notice that when he changed his name from Abraham as his father, he didn't change it to property developer. Praise the Lord. Say, you know, you want to roll with the big boys. What do you have, Sam? Say, I just have $1 million. I'm going to give you $3 million. Or like we say in primary school, zillion. Have you ever seen zillion before? Zillions of dollars. I say, yeah. So your name shall no longer be big boy. It's bigger boy. No. He said to him, a father, verse 5, of many nations have I made you. I'll make thee exceedingly fruitful. I'll make nations of you. Are you here? And kings shall come out of you. He says, and I'll establish my covenant between thee and thy seed after thee in their generation for an everlasting covenant to be a God to thee and to thy seed after thee. I'll give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art a stranger, the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession. I will be their God. So he's talking about a land. Said the same thing to Sarah. Chapter 17, verse 16. Look at chapter 20, 28. So the moment you disconnect the Abraham's land from people, you misunderstand it. So now, pay attention. If you come to our time, can you equate this covenant to the Great Commission? We'll see it now. Look at chapter 28. The Great Commission is the same thing as saying, go into the world and preach the gospel. So a man that says he has the blessing of Abraham and is not going for evangelism, he has the blessing of Lot. That is what you have. Only. Ole, 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 ole. That's what you are. Because that's not what God said to Abraham. What God told Abraham about was the nations in one household, which is by evangelism. Genesis 28. Are you in church? Are you in church? 12. This is Jacob now. He dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven, and behold, the angels of God ascended and descended, and behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, your father, the God of Isaac. Look at it again. Let's take it. The land. Let's go now. The land where you lie, to thee will I give, and to what? 14. And your seed shall be what? And thou shalt spread abroad to the west, to the east, to the north, the south, in thee and in thy seed shall all the... So is it a piece of property or people? Alright, good. So the land is about people. So, if the land is about people, what is the purpose? We saw it earlier. To build God's habitation. The land is about people and to build God's habitation. Now quickly, look at Psalm 105. Are you learning something? I remember, it seems I had 1999. You see 99 or 20, the beautiful people of a beloved country. So a guy came to me after service and he said, are you saying that there is no money in this thing at all? I said, there is. To give. Don't be discouraged. God loves you. Psalm 105. Praise the Lord. Yeah. So have you seen the land? Huh? Have you seen the land? Or you are still looking for another one? Psalm 105. Let's see how the psalmist describes them. Verse 6. O seed of Abraham, his servant, you children of Jacob, his chosen, he is the Lord our God, the judgments are all in the earth. He had remembered the covenant forever, the word which he commanded to 1,000 generations, the covenant he made with Abraham and his oath unto Isaac, confirmed the same to Jacob for a law, to Israel for an everlasting covenant. Let's take verse 11 together. Watch this now. Slowly see what he's saying here. Saying, let's say it together, huh? Unto thee will I give the land of Canaan, and the Lord of your inheritance, when there were but a few men in number, yea, very few, and strangers in... Huh? Stop! So let's, before you get there. So Canaan is a figure of speech. The land of Canaan is a figure of speech. Because when Abraham got to Canaan, he didn't build up any property. He didn't build anything there. He built nothing. He didn't buy any property. We're going to get to Hebrews 11 shortly. So let's go on further. Let's just read let's take verse 12 again. When there were a few men in number, huh? Yeah, very few. And strangers in it. When they went from one. So that land is from one. Uh-huh. From one kingdom to. It suffered no man to do them wrong. Yea, reproved kings for their sake. 15. Touch not my anointed, and do my prophets no harm. Now, when you hear anointed and prophets, are those ministers? So, what did he call Abraham to? To property possession or to the ministry? Is that okay? So, Genesis 20 verse 7, Abraham was called God's prophet. So, it's a ministry that he gave him. So, when he called Abraham out of the nations, just like he did to Israel, he called you out to ministry. To fulfill his purpose in the earth. That's why he called Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That is it. So the land he's referring to is a people. So promised land. We have a book like that, The Promised Land. And I intend to teach it again this year. The promised land, right, is about the preaching of the gospel. Look at Hebrews 11. Are you in church? Learning something? You learning something? Remember the word foundation. Can you remember it? Foundation of the world, remember? Build another temple. So let's see how it goes here. Look at verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go into a place which you have to receive an inheritance, obeyed and he went out, not knowing whither he went. Let's take 9 together and slowly. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him. So, even though they were in a particular piece of property, that wasn't the promise. Look at 10. For he looked for a city which had whose builder and maker, is that God's temple? He looked for a city whose builder and maker is God. 11, through faith also, Sarah herself received strength, conceived seed, bore a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Let's take 12 together slowly. Therefore, sprang there, even of one, him as good as dead, so as many as the stars of the sky in multitude, as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. Look at 13. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them where? Come on. Where personal, embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Verse 14. For they that say such things desire plainly that they seek a country. Verse 15, let's go. Truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had the opportunity to have returned. 16. Now they desire a better country that is an heavenly. Oh yeah. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called. For he hath prepared them what? Is it clear now? Is it clear? Is it referring to Canaan or the body of Christ? That's the body of Christ. So Hebrews chapter 12, writer of Hebrews, verse 22. Now the word city that he used consistently there is the word polis in the Greek, P-O-L-I-S, refers to inhabitants of a place. Inhabitants of a place. Polis. Now look at Hebrews 12, 22. Amen. You in church? Let's go. You are come to where? Woo, glory to God. To where? The city of the living God. The heavenly Jerusalem. To a numberable company. Was this what Abraham was looking at? Was this the land the Lord showed him? Look at 23. Let's go. To the general assembly, the church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven. Huh? To God, the judge of all, and the spirits of just men made perfect. 24. To Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things. Alright, so, is the land a piece of property or people? People from a particular place or all over the world? Very well. So God started in Abraham the ministry of the gospel. To preach the gospel. What God called Abraham out for is to preach the gospel. And we know we settled the concept of firstborn. Remember firstborn? The firstborn blessing is not money, is not material wealth. Because as we have said oftentimes, Isaac and Ishmael, Ishmael wasn't less rich than Isaac was, but more precisely, Esau was obviously wealthier than Jacob. That was not the firstborn promise. The firstborn promise is the office of a servant, office of one who takes on the responsibility of his dad. His liabilities as well. That's why Israel, Exodus 4, 22 and 23, the whole nation was called my firstborn. So Abraham's blessings are mine is evangelism. Amen? I am blessed in the morning. Huh? Let's sing it. Abraham's blessings are mine. I am blessed. I am blessed. Uh-huh. They are really mine. What it means is, evangelism is mine. Evangelism is mine. I will preach. Oh yeah. Don't we not sing it? Abraham was called to carry God's task in the earth. So in Romans chapter 4, what God gave, the reason why he required a revelation was because there was no way he could see it with his physical eyes. Romans chapter 4. My hands are blessed with the blessings of the Lord. That's offering time song. Anyone I touch, surely must be blessed, surely must be blessed. My hands are filled with the blessings of the Lord. With the blessings of the Lord. You start singing it. So who will sing that one? They will bring out any offering. Okay, now Romans 4, are you here? Look at what Paul says. Verse 13. For the promise that it will be what? Heir what? The world. Was not to Abraham, or so you see through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. So, it is to be heir of the world. So when you talk about the inheritance of the inheritance of the believer is the work of the ministry, is the land. Is the land. The inheritance is the land. The inheritance. Go to Psalm 2 again. You learn something? Are you learning something? Oh, come on guys, learn something? Psalm 2. Were there earlier. I'll declare the decree the Lord said to me, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. Ask of me. Let's go. I'll give you what? For what? Your inheritance. The even means the nations. Go on. The uttermost parts of the earth for your possession. So, if you're asked today, what was the inheritance of Jesus in the resurrection? Would you say Banana Island? Or, what's this place again? Would you say, this very wealthy highlands? No, you didn't have that. No. You say the nations of the world, right? That's his inheritance. That's what it is. So when he says, you'll be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and unto where? The uttermost parts of the earth. The uttermost parts of the earth. That is what Israel was called to do. That is the land. So do not forget where we started from. He gave them the commandments because of the land. So can we say, because of the gospel? Would that be correct? Or let's say, because of the ministry of the gospel. So the 10 commandments, are they for salvation? No. They are given upon salvation for the mandate, for the purpose. Are you here? Alright, maybe we should add one more. Is it to build God's resting place? Huh? That's what it is. So he gave them the commandments, having rescued them. That's why the preview, the intro is, I'm the Lord your God who brought you out. So we went back to see why he brought them out, right? And then this is why he gave them the law. So the 10 commandments are for the mission. Because you have a mission, thou shalt not do this. Thou shalt do this. Because you are called to a mission. So I put it in one word. The 10 commandments depict our holiness. Our holiness is why we are serving God the way we do. And our holiness is His holiness. We'll talk to that, we'll get to that later on. Our holiness. I'll have gotten to the concept of bearing His name. We'll talk about that later. But notice something again in Exodus 20. We saw that twice. Exodus 20. Learning something? Are you learning something? Good. In Exodus 20, in verse 8, it says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. That was, you see the same statement anyway in Deuteronomy 5:12. Why did he add Sabbath day? To keep it holy. Remember the Sabbath day. Now, this, I'm going to assume you come to church. I know you do. But we have said that Sabbath is not absence of activity, right? Sabbath is the opposite of chaos. Put that somewhere. Sabbath is when, if something is in disorder and you put it together, it's called Sabbath. What you have done by putting things in their proper place is Sabbath. Are you here? Now, when it says remember, the remember is not memory. It's the Hebrew word zakar. Z-A-K-A-R. Now, when the Hebrew uses zakar, it includes two things. Your mouth and your heart. Which means, put it on your heart and say it with your mouth. So, when you say remember the Sabbath day, it means mention it. It means talk about it. What is the Sabbath day? Let me just give you a head start. We'll get to that. The Sabbath day is when all the chaos of Genesis 1-2 have been brought under control. Say, keep it holy. That means we've said here that Sabbath is a task, a mission. So, you must keep the work of the Sabbath sacred. Sacred. Keep it sacred. It's a sacred task. Look at the word remember, so that you know that it's not like someone forgot. Genesis 19. Wow. One second. Okay, look at Psalm 8. I just lost the text. Psalm 8. Before I get Psalm 8, this is the text I'm looking for. Okay, Genesis 8:1 first, before I get Psalm 8. It says, and God, Genesis 8:1, remembered Noah. Not like he forgot Noah. That means God is talking about Noah. Genesis 19:29, the Lord remembered Abraham and sent Lot. He remembered. It's not like, oh yeah, so there's Abraham. Mm-mm. He's talking about Abraham. You find Abraham in his spirit. That's the word Zaka. Psalm 8. Are you in church? And verse 4. What is man that you are mindful? The word mindful there is the word Zaka. Mindful of him. The son of man that you visit him. That means you are talking about him all the time. So when Exodus 20 says, remember the Sabbath day, that is a message. Something you talk about. So when we say, the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea, that is the Sabbath day. When we say, the uttermost part of the earth will be covered with the word of God, that is the Sabbath day. So the Ten Commandments, comes out later, they are for the mission. Look at Exodus 20. They are not for salvation. In fact, they are not for God. We're going to see that. Therefore, they are manward. Look at verse 12. Honor thy father and mother. Now this is a strange instruction in a world that is male dominated. By adding mother there, it's a counterculture instruction. Honor thy father and mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. I'll pause. Have we studied that what the land is? Have we studied what the land is? Okay, so it says, honor your father and mother, that your days may be long in the land. Since we know that the land is not a piece of property, to assume is saying that you will add years to your years in Nigeria or America or wherever you say, you know that is wrong theology. We all saw that the land is what? The land is what? So in case you are honoring your parents so that you can be 100 years, I am not taking care of your health. Right? It's not going to work. I now blame God. Ah, God. I send money every month. I prostrate. What's happening? That's not what he was talking about. We've seen that the land is what? 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 Paper. Okay. Look at Deuteronomy 11. Now, this doesn't mean you shouldn't honor your parents. You have to. You should honor your parents. But you have to find out why he said it. It's not for bargaining. Say, Lord, you know I've done my part. I need 79 more years. Deuteronomy 11, let's see this. Making sense now. Alright. It says in 14, I'll give you the rain of your land in the due season, the first rain, the latter rain, that thou mayest gather in thy corn, the wine. I think we read latter rain and first rain earlier. In the glory of the Lord, right? Habakkuk. So Haggai too. Very good. So you flow, you flow, you flow. Now look at verse 18. Therefore shall you lay up this my words in your heart and in your soul, bind them upon the sign of your hand, that they may be as frontless between your eyes. You shall teach them your children, speaking them of them you lie, when you sit in thy house, and when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. You will teach your children. Thou shalt write them upon the doorposts of thy house, watch this, and upon thy gates, that your days may be multiplied. What's that? Go on. And the days of your children in the land which the Lord swore unto your fathers to give them, as the days of where? Okay, so the days being long will be what? Will be seen in who? In the children, right? Huh? Alright. So the land is people. Brilliant. So go to Ephesians 6. Verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment. Why does Paul say the first commandment? I thought we had five before then. I'll go explain that later on. That it may be well with you, that thou mayest live long on the earth. How do you mean by live long on the earth? That thou mayest live long on the earth. What do you mean by live long on the earth? What's the number of years? Nobody said. Rather, Moses said, as the days of heaven on the earth. So the implication he's talking about there is spiritual. That your days may be long has to do with what we call discipleship. Which means he ties the honor of relationships to our ministries in the earth. It's not referring to maybe 200 years. No. The days be long on earth is referring to, remember we said the end of the world is when the earth is filled. So, Paul is saying here, That conduct you have towards parents, which is not just parents now, relationships generally, is for the sake of the work of the ministry. It's for the sake of the task you are given. That your days may be long on earth. Now look at Jesus in Matthew 5. Matthew 5. So our good conduct is not to earn us righteousness. Nope. Our good conduct, or let's say our obeying the law, or let's say the Ten Commandments, is for the earth. Matthew 5, see it again. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Verse 3. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Look at 5. Let's take 5 together. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. So, notice the word inheritance comes in. They shall inherit the earth. So the inheritance is the earth. So whatever Paul is referring to, which is what Moses said, has to do with the earth. The works to abide. For the works to abide. 1 Corinthians 3. I asked you not to lose sight of what Paul says. 1 Corinthians 3. Let's look at it again. First Corinthians 3. Verse 12. If any man builds upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be what? Made manifest, For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. Now slowly look at 14. If a man's work abides, which he has built upon, abides where? In the earth. Is that long life? Is that his days being long? Is that his days being long in the earth? Okay? If a man's work shall abide, which he has built upon, he shall receive what? A reward. Is it salvation? Is it salvation? No. Is he already saved? Yes. So if a man's work shall abide, he'll receive a reward. Look at 15. If a man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. So honor your father and mother, that your days may be long on earth, that your works will abide. Do you understand it? That your works will what? Abide. So it's not length of days, even though we all need length of days to fulfill God's task in the earth, but it's not the length of days, it's the work that was done. So the work of obedience to God and following His leading will abide on the earth forever. Disobedience, rebellion, selfishness will be burned. That's what Moses is saying, and that's what Paul is referring to. So the Ten Commandments are close at this point. We're given because of the task. We're going to explore this more. It's because of the mission. The mission is the land. The mission is our inheritance. The mission is what God gave us in Christ Jesus. The mission is the mandate. So, that's the inheritance. That's what it is. Why did he give the instructions? Because of your mission. That's it. So, we call the Ten Commandments instructions to a minister of Christ. Instructions. To a minister. Because it's for the land. In Acts 1:8, when Jesus said, Acts 1:8, you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. He was repeating the Abraham's covenant. In Luke 24:47, repentance and remission of sins you preach his name among God's nations. That's the Abrahamic covenant. In Matthew 28, verse 19, you teach all nations. That's the Abrahamic covenant. Because of that covenant, you are asked not to bear the name of the Lord in vain. You are asked to honor your father and mother. You are asked not to covet, not to steal, because of the commission. Not to covet, not to steal, not to lie one to another. Why? Not to have adulterous relationships. Not to have criminal relationships. Say, because of who you are. Because of the holiness that you carry. Because of the mandate upon your life. Because of who you are and what you do. Amen. We'll continue from there next week. Blessed. Stand to your feet and bless the Lord. Thank you.